This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This bracket season, FanDuel is letting you make the call. Because right now, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. That's 200 extra bucks to bet on everything from clutch shots to last second heartbreaks and even who's cutting down the nets. If you've been waiting to join, there's no better time. There's tourney action almost every day, and FanDuel has amazing bet types like spreads, totals, game props, and so much more. So visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan and get in on the college hoops action all tourney long.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right. A couple of the best days of the year coming up here, especially if you just want to chill out. Thursday through Sunday, this weekend and next weekend as well, as we talk college basketball. We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He can talk anything. Football, college basketball, whatever it is. He is also the pride of Ohio University. He is Bill Bender from the Sporting News, where he is a senior writer. Hello, Bill, and welcome to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. How are you?
Hi, Bill.
I'm doing well, and you had to mention OU, unfortunately, losing to Toledo up there last week. That was a heartbreaker, but, I'm threading between an NFL draft teleconference with Kuiper, OSU spring practice, and March Madness. So you guys are going to have to guide this one. Let me know where you want to start.
It's all good. You got the knowledge behind all of it, too. By the way, we brought this up yesterday because we're both Kent State guys. Do you find yourself, as an OU grad, still rooting for Akron, whoever wins the Mid-American Conference Tournament, once they get to the dance?
So when I was in college, from like 99 to 02, Kent State went on their run, right, with Huffman and Gates and Shaw, that really great Kent State team.
It's our glory, man. Hang on, we're going to cry for a second. Okay.
Yeah, you know, I was torn at the time because they beat OU in some really good games. But once they got in the tournament, I was pulling for them, especially because I just liked the coaches. I liked that team and really wanted them to go to the Final Four. But now as I've gotten older, I've gotten selfish. I'm like, I want OU to be the Final Four team. That said, like John Gross, took OU to a Sweet 16. A lot of people picking them against Arizona. They're going to have to get off to a fast start, though, with their guards, because Arizona has Caleb Love, and he's one of the best players in the tournament.
Teams that hit the three, Bill, can do some things. You never know who gets hot. Akron can hit the threes. They didn't against Miami, and it almost cost them. I think they have a chance against Arizona if they can go out and they get hot from behind that three-point line.
You know, you're right. And one of the things when I break down a bracket, a stat I always look at is three-point percentage and then how you defend the three-point line. And it's never perfect, because I remember like breaking that down last year, and then I think Clemson got in a game that they probably shouldn't have won, and they were on fire from three-point range. It's really I think it's the most unpredictable part of the tournament. Is teams, take St. Mary's, for example. They made 2 3-pointers in the West Coast Conference tournament, but you know they're a better shooting team than that. And when you watch this game now, that's what the game is, all the way down to the youth level, is guys shoot threes and how do you defend it, and that's how the upsets happen.
Bill, what do you think of the governor of West Virginia going crazy about the Mountaineers not getting in and just yelling and screaming about North Carolina. Then North Carolina comes through, and then DeVries leaves West Virginia to go to Indiana. I love this story. I think it's hysterical.
You know, I did bracketology for us this year, and I've done it over the years. And I had North Carolina in up until, like, Sunday morning. Then I listened to a couple podcasts, and you're watching TV, and you're like, I'm going to take them out. And I did. You know what I thought to myself when they were in? I was like, I know why they're in. Who cares about their quad one record? They have those blue shorts. That's why they're in. And, boy, did they show why they should be in last night. They played Caleb. R.J. Davis was great last night. And it's a really good basketball team. They could make some noise. Indiana, that was an interesting choice. I thought they might go after, like, a T.J. Otzelberger or even McDermott at that point. But it's a good hire. And then West Virginia, I mean, come on, man. You can't send stuff like that, because when you're on the bubble, I think in basketball way more than football, as we figured out, if you're out, there's a reason why you're out. You probably lost too many games.
Bill, is the tournament okay the way it is? You know, there's always been talk about, do you expand to 128? Do you expand, let everybody in and play it down somehow, figure that out? Is the little bit of an expansion bringing in, you know, the play-in guys, is that a good thing? Do you like where it sits right now, or does it need tinkered with?
So I still have a printer, and I like to print it out on one page. I don't need to print out a two-page, three-page bracket. And I like 68. I like the play-in games to have that showcase in Dayton, and I just like the feel of it. I don't know that we need to expand it because, I mean, for me, I still watch the NIT. It depends on who's in it and you know, what the matchup is. But, you know, and then you have a third-string tournament behind that. So I would rather keep it at 68.
Bill, you still there?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Oh, gotcha. It broke up for a second. Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, the SEC and Big Ten have mega conferences now, and they're going to get a lot of teams in. But, you know, the Big Ten only got 8 teams in, and you could make a case for Indiana and against. And you could have made a case for Ohio State. But I think everybody around here knows they – Northwestern loss was probably the beginning of the end of their tournament hopes.
Bill, you talked about that third tournament, the Crown, that's out in Vegas, where, you know, you win, you get $300,000 in NIL. Just your thoughts on that and what that did to the NIT. And I thought it was interesting that Ohio State chose not to go, and then that automatically said, well, you can't be in the NIT if you're not going to go to the Crown.
Well, Sporting News is not going to send me to the Crown and Big Ten Media Day in Vegas, so I've got to pick my spots. But I would have volunteered for that assignment. It's part of the game. You know, I was talking to Hunter Dickinson this morning for a story about him as Kansas gets into the tournament and just the opportunities that NIL and transfer. You always ask that question, what about NIL and the transfer portal? And Hunter had some really good thoughts. I mean, one, NIL is good. Every student athlete's going to say that. He was of the opinion that with the portal, he would like to see, and I think you've heard analysts say this too, maybe a 2-year contract to start your college career. Then you can transfer if you don't like it after 2 years. And in college basketball, a little bit different. I guess if you have one good year and you want to go to the NBA, that's fine. I guess that's the potential mess. But that's where I land on those two things.
We've heard talk about, you know, a fifth year of eligibility all the way around. That's kind of been nixed. But the COVID year is going away. The concept of, you know, guys in their seventh year of college basketball, that seems like it's going to end, Bill, you know, just because the COVID year is going away and everything else. Did they learn anything here that they should expand eligibility by another year, or should it be tidied up after what we've seen?
I'm torn on it. I think the medical hardship waiver is different, but other than, and then COVID obviously threw everything off. I tried my best to forget about 5 years ago when we lost the NCAA tournament and, you know, a couple months of our lives and those kind of things. But I think you should go back to, you know, you have 5 years, 4 years of eligibility, and if you redshirt, great. Football-wise, I mean, having that 4 games is great. But I do think I agree with the football coaches in general when you're talking about 26, 27-year-old players in college football. They've made kind of a joke of it in some places. And I don't know. I mean, I'm one of those guys that if you can figure it out in 4 years of eligibility, injury notwithstanding, then that's what we should have.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bill, what does Jake Diebler's seat look like in Columbus right now?
We got to see how they can recruit. When I look at Ohio State basketball over the years, I think Thad Matta spoiled us a little bit. Two things. One, Thad Matta did spoil us because they were almost guaranteed Sweet 16 every year, and he had some really good teams that were capable of winning the national title. And I look at Ohio State as a program that should win. I mean, what do you guys think? I think they should win 22 to 23 games every year.
There's no reason they shouldn't.
Yeah, I do too. I heard a lot of really bad stuff about Jake over the last week. I'm like, hang on a second.
Right.
But then again, we did that with football too on this show, so we're okay. And then we ended up getting the last laugh with a big smile at the end with the national championship. So.
Well, and I know Jake a little bit. So my first newspaper job was in Upper Sandusky. I missed him and John by a year when they won the state championship. And so I've always kind of rooted for him in general because took Upper Sandusky to a state title. He's a point guard. He has that mind. I think he has a really strong passion for Ohio as a coach's kid. And I think getting Ohio kids in Ohio State, the elite ones, you got to land them. You know, Ohio basketball is really good, particularly here in Central Ohio. I know where you guys are, the D1, the high-level ball is really good. Let's get those Ohio kids at Ohio State. And if they don't go there, let's make sure we get them in those Ohio MAC schools, not the other MAC schools. I can say that on the air.
That's fair enough.
That is fair enough to say. The game itself, is there anything in college basketball that doesn't sit well that you think this is a change that needs to happen in this game? Should they move the three-point line maybe back to NBA? Is that becoming too easy of a shot in college basketball?
No, I wouldn't change much other than I think the tough part is it runs into problems because of the portal and guys leaving for the NBA, it's natural that you don't have the same teams. You know, I grew up in the 90s, which I think was the golden era of college basketball in my lifetime because you knew every Duke starter, you knew every North Carolina starter, you knew, like, on Monday night you were watching the Big East game of the week. The coach, I think the coaches, too, we've lost a lot of coaches that were icons. So for me, watching Rick Pitino do what he has done at St. John's has been incredible. I was telling people last week, I was watching the Big East tournament. My son, Grant, he's an eighth grader, was watching one of the timeouts, and Pitino's hollering at the players. And I kind of looked at him and I said, yeah, it's okay to yell at you guys. Okay. So, you can coach hard still and be successful. And what he's been able to do, pretty cool. And by the way, Kansas, Arkansas, and St. John's, all in the same pod. Self, Pitino, Calipari. That's 17 Final Four appearances. You can't tell me that's not going to be good TV.
Let me ask you this final question here, too, because, you know, we sit back, and I do think it's different in different regions and the pockets of where your focus is on basketball, because I think sometimes we get sucked into the NBA because the Cavs are here. But so my question for you then is, when it comes to the tournament, do we love the tournament or do we love the spectacle of wall-to-wall basketball over the weekend?
I think we still love the other part more, the spectacle of, hey, I can have a game on. And, you know, in the modern day, we maybe don't know the players as much. We still like – I still like the process of watching the tournament. I always enjoy from a, you know, 20,000-foot view or whatever when everybody tries to pick their upset and say they were right. And I'm like, you know what, I fill out four brackets to make sure all of them are right or wrong. But – I do enjoy watching the 12s and 13s get through. I do think this tournament, I hope Cooper Flagg plays and is healthy because that'll be fun. And, you know, my pick for the national championship game was Florida and Duke. Florida's playing very well around Walter Payton. This is their best team in a while. And they play a little defense too. So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm a guy that this is one of my favorite weeks. The sun's up in Ohio for once. You know, you got tournament basketball, spring sports going on. You guys do have the Cavs up there, and you're going to be watching them in June, hopefully. They are an outstandingly fun basketball team. Outstandingly, I don't know if that's a word. They are very fun to watch.
We got our fingers crossed. We're a little some people are a little worried about the last two games. I don't know. I don't want to talk for Jeff, but I'm just kidding. I've watched a couple things the last couple days. I'm like, ooh.
Somebody's freaking out, Bill, and it's not me.
I'm not freaking out. I'll be better as we move forward. All right, did you say you were at football today, 100%? Did you go to?
I was, and you know what? The competitive depth of Ohio State's roster is interesting. All the cameras were on the quarterbacks, Julian Sayin, Keen Holtz, and Fabian Sinclair spoke to the media afterward. And you know what? It was cool to see that banner up, and they, you know, what's the line now where you move on? Well, that was January 20th, and now you're at spring practice. That, we're not that far removed from that. So I think there's a vibe around there where they're going to compete, and, you know, we'll be keeping a close eye on that quarterback competition. They all had good things to say.
Well, who do you think it is going, like, today? If they had to play a game tomorrow, who would you – is it – who is it? I don't know.
I think it's going to be – if it were me today, and then judging off watching 10 minutes of – controlled practice, right?
Right.
I think, as Julian's saying, there's a lot around him that I like. I think wearing that number 10, quick release, everybody's going to talk about that, but it's going to come down to which guy can really lead this team. St. Clair looks huge, by the way. I didn't realize he was that tall. And then Keen Holtz looked like he put on about 20 pounds in that college weight room. So that competition will spill into the fall, but I would say Julian's saying would be my answer today, but you can't hold me to that when we talk next time.
It is going to be a totally different look team, with the exception of Jeremiah Smith on that offensive at the wide receiver spot. It's going to be interesting to watch Ohio State rebuilds and just I don't know your thoughts on moving into next year. I mean, I know they reload every year, but there's not a lot. I mean, you think about the guys that played last year, especially at running back and wide receiver. There's going to be new names for everyone to learn.
Yeah, and they're going to be hiccups early, and they better be ready to go, because who are they playing in week one? Texas with Arch Manning. And whoever wins that game, it's really going to be hard to hold down the hype of, okay, this team's going to win it all, because you're going to have Arch. You're going to have a new Ohio State quarterback. You got a lot of bodies. They played a classic semifinal. And so, yeah, I think there's going to be some, you know, anytime you lose that many guys on defense, but they do have Caleb Downs back, and anytime you lose that many guys on offense, but I did see Jeremiah Smith at practice, and I just – he's not playing on Sunday yet. It's like, wow, he's really good. So I do think they'll be right back in the mix in the Big Ten championship hunt. But, you know, Penn State, Oregon, Michigan, they'll have something to say about it. It should be a good race at the top of those four teams.
Bill, outstanding. It was great talking to you. Love catching up with you, and I love getting all this knowledge from around the state. I'm not going to ask you about Olentangy, Orns, and Reynoldsburg in the D1 finals. So I'm just going to leave you off the hook on that one. But we appreciate it, and look forward to talking to you sometime in the near future.
All right, I'll let you guys get back to those Trevor Huffman highlights. Have a good day.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks,
appreciate
Bill.
It. Bill Bender, senior writer for The Sporting News.